This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
MashaAllah, itna hi nahi sab sab ke dawat ke liye shukriya hai. Itni zubaan jigar yahan tak pahunchaye hain. Hum bhi hamare upar bhi bahut banda hai. Aakhir tak unki baat ko aur dhyan ke saath sunna aur aur bhi nahi sunna. Allah taala unke aane ko qabul farma aur main amal karne ko.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولقد أنزلنا إليكم آيات مبينات ومثلا من الذين خلوا من قبلكم وموعظة للمتقين الله نور السماوات والأرض مثل نوره كمشكاة فيها مصباح المصباح في زجاجة الزجاجة كأنها كوكب دري يوقد من شجرة مباركة زيتونة لا شرقية ولا غربية يكاد زيتها يضيء ولو لم تمسسه نار نور على نور يهدي الله لنوره من يشاء ويضرب الله الأمثال للناس والله بكل شيء عليم صدق الله العظيم.
As was mentioned, it is with the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has bestowed upon us the pleasure of the company of Maulana Ibrahim here with us all the way from South Africa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has accepted our dua and Maulana accepted our invitation to come here and impart some of his knowledge with us and to spend the entire week here with us, inshallah. Maulana is the General Secretary of Jamiatul Ulama, which is the Council of Muslim Theologians in Johannesburg, South Africa. Maulana Ibrahim is known to be one of the most active scholars in South Africa for advocacy, development, education, interfaith, amongst many of the issues that face the Muslim community within South Africa. Maulana has been invited to and has traveled to various parts of the world, all four corners of the world, in fact, from Australia all the way to the United States. And it is a great blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Maulana is here with us today. As Maulana Qasim Sahib, our Imam Sahib, has mentioned, the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to the nearest meaning, that he who does not thank the people does not thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So one of the ways we can show our gratitude and thanks is to listen attentively to the great words of wisdom and gain maximum benefits from this program and the programs to follow, inshallah. So we won't carry on any further. Maulana Ibrahim, if I can pass the mic on to you.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah ala ilmihi ba'da ilmih wa ala afwihi ba'da qudratih wa salatu wa salamu ala sayyidil anbiya'i wal mursaleen wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa sallama tasliman kathiran kathira. Amma ba'du fa'udhu billahi min ash-shaytani rajim bismillahir rahmanir rahim. الذين آمنوا وتطمئن قلوبهم بذكر الله ألا بذكر الله تطمئن القلوب. وقال تعالى ومن أعرض عن ذكري فإن له معيشة ضنقا ونحشره يوم القيامة أعمى. صدق الله العظيم. Respected ulama, the imam of the masjid, Mulana Qasim Saab, the elders and brothers, first, it's our duty to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said, Kullu amrin dibalin lam yabda' bi ismillahi fahu abtar. Any endeavor that we do without taking and starting off with the name of Allah, it is devoid of blessings. We should make it a habit, not only in our dini gatherings, but in any activity of ours. Whenever we start, we should start it with the name of Almighty Allah to include Allah's blessings in that endeavor, inshallah. Will we do that, inshallah? We send salutations upon our beloved Nabi Kareem, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was the purveyor and the propagator of the message of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon us. Says Allah in the Holy Quran, قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ يُوحَى إِلَيَّ أَنَّمَا إِلَهُكُمْ إِلَهُ وَاحِدٌ. Tell unto the people, O Prophet of Almighty Allah, I am a human as you are human, and I have been given wahi from Almighty Allah that Allah Ta'ala is one. So Allah Ta'ala had commanded our beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Ya you are Rasul, balligh ma unzila ilayka min Rabbik. O Rasul, propagate what Allah has revealed unto you. And not because our Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is in need of it, but we do it for our own honor, and we bear witness that our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had fulfilled his responsibility in making the message of Allah reach towards us. It's a different matter that we have not been perhaps been able to do justice to the message that Allah Ta'ala has sent to us through our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had definitely fulfilled his responsibility in this regard. In قَدْ بَلَّغْتَ الرِّسَالَةِ وَأَدَّيْتَ الْأَمَانَةِ وَنَسَحْتَ الْأُمَّةِ. We bear witness that he had fulfilled his responsibility in this regard. Brothers, we have a very interesting topic, happiness and success. How do you define happiness? How do you gain happiness? How do you gain success? However, it is a well-known fact, and it's a human instinct. Each and every one of us, we want happiness and we want success. Is it true or not? Is there anyone who doesn't want happiness, who doesn't want success? Obviously, we all want. There's been hundreds of books written on how to achieve happiness, how to achieve success. But what is amazing is, despite the fact that hundreds and thousands of books have been written on it, it remains something that is very elusive. Not everyone can claim that he has that happiness or he feels that he is successful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has shown us the way how to gain this happiness both in this world and the year after, and how to achieve success. We will try in this limited time to be able to speak about it. So, hum sab khushiyon ke mutalashi hai. Sab chahte hai ke wo khush rahe. Iske upar hazaron kitabein likhi ja chuki hai. سب اس کے متلاشی ہیں. ہم ایک دوسرے سے کہتے ہیں کہ اللہ تعالیٰ آپ کو خوشیاں نصیب کرے, اور اس میں کوئی مذائقہ نہیں. یہ صحیح دعا ہے. It's a beautiful دعا. Our beloved نبی کریم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم, one day, very interesting incident, عمر رضی اللہ تعالیٰ عنہ one day came and knocked at the door of our beloved نبی کریم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. نبی کریم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم was with the woman. Some of his was his wife, and they were making certain demands upon our beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So if the wife makes certain demands, don't get angry. It happened even previously. It happened to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also. Unka haq hai. They've got the right to make demands. If they don't make demands upon you, who are they going to make demands to? Rather they make demands to you, they make it to someone else. So anyway, they were making demands. And when Umar radiallahu ta'ala came, they scattered. So when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came, and Umar radiallahu ta'ala came into the room, he saw Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam smiling. What did Umar radiallahu ta'ala said? Adhaqallahu sinnaka ya Rasulullah. Ya Rasulullah, may Allah always keep you smiling. Allah ta'ala aapko hamesha isi tarah rakhe. Subhanallah, what a beautiful dua. Oh Prophet of Almighty Allah, Allah always keep you happy. So, ya Rasulullah, why are you smiling? Oh Umar, I'm smiling at these women. They were sitting to me, they were making certain demands. You came, they all fled away. So Umar radiallahu ta'ala addressed the woman and said, Ya aduwati anfusikunna. Oh enemies of your own self, you are afraid of me. You are not afraid of the Prophet of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they said, Kunta afaz wa aghlaz. You are more harsh than Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Umar rehne dijiye. Leave it. Whenever you take a path, shaitan take another path. So this is the situation of Umar. But look at that. Adhaqallahu sinna. Ya Rasulullah, may Allah always keep you smiling. May Allah always keep you happy. So it's nothing wrong for a person to wish to be happy. There's an amazing incident after the Battle of Khaybar. Hazrat Ja'far radiallahu ta'ala anhu came to Madinah Munawwara. This is very interesting. For people like you and I who are in UK and South Africa, sometimes it is worthy for us to understand how Hazrat Ja'far, the cousin of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, remained in Ethiopia. Right? Today I'm in a mood of just speaking, off the cuff. So there was a Jamaat brothers who went to Ethiopia. They went to the place where Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent the Sahaba. And it's amazing. Let me just tell you that Islam. Today someone was making a joke with me with regard to Africa. So we don't realize Islam reached Africa before it reached Madinah Munawwara. Islam reached Africa before it reached Madinah Munawwara. Islam came to Ethiopia, what we call Abyssinia at that time, Najashi, when the people of Makkah were oppressing the people of the Muslims in Makkah. Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam allowed the Sahaba to go to Africa. And he said, there is a just ruler who will give you refuge. And who knows, inshallah, maybe Allah will keep that. Allah Ta'ala will still make Africa the place where Islam will get refuge. So one Sati on Jamaat went there. And he came back and he told me, because I used to speak a lot on the history of Islam in Africa. I gave few talks on the history of Islam in Africa. So one brother in Botswana told him, I want to come and speak about the history of Islam in the university. It's an amazing, amazing history. Just to give you an example, the Swahili language, right, is a language of the entire east coast of Africa. It comes from the Arabic word Sahil, coast. There's such a mixture between the local African custom and Islam. It's our misfortune that we have not been able to build on that because of our deep-set, sometimes prejudice and racism. But this is a reality that Islam, there is a greater percentage of Muslims in Africa than in any other continent of the world. 55% of the continent of Africa is Muslim. So anyway, while I was sitting and talking about this way it came from, Hazrat Ja'far radiallahu anhu was born there. So this Sati was telling me, he said, I went to this place where Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam came, and I saw that if all the women there were dressed modestly, even the non-Muslims were dressed modestly. So he said, I came back and I spoke and I said it to one alim, that I went to this place and even the non-Muslims had scarf. So he said, you know what he replied? He said, what do you expect? Uthman, the epitome of modesty, was in that place. What do you expect? He went there 1400 years ago, up till now, there is an aspect of modesty in his place. Uthman radiallahu anhu went to Abyssinia. So when Jafar radiallahu anhu remained there, as Uthman radiallahu anhu, and they came back to Makkah, Jafar radiallahu anhu remained there for at least 15 years. If you look, 10, 15 years of Meccan period, and he only came after the Battle of Khaybar, which happened in the 6th year after Hijri. So how did Jafar radiallahu anhu stay in a country which was ruled by non-Muslims? A Sahabi stayed in a country which was ruled by non-Muslims. How did he stay there? What did he do? You and I, we can learn lessons with regard to it. It's a very, very amazing fact. And there are one or two incidents, they don't have the time, it's a different topic. What did Hazrat Jafar radiallahu anhu do when he was in Abyssinia? So when he came back to Medina, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he saw Jafar, he got up and he hugged Jafar. And what did he say? Wallahi ma adri bi'ayyihima afrah. Bifathi khaybar am biqulubi Jafar. Wallahi, I don't know what gave me greater happiness. The conquest and the winning of the battle in Khaybar or the coming of Jafar. I don't know which one more gave happiness. So as the word that is used is farah, extreme happiness. I don't know what gave me more happiness. Did the battle of Khaybar, the winning of the battle of Khaybar, give me more happiness or the coming of Jafar? So sometimes when our family members come to our house from abroad, we get happy. So this aspect of happiness, there is absolutely nothing wrong with regard to the aspect. But the point is, how do we get it? Happiness is a state in which we are pleased and we are satisfied. Some people have defined it in this way. Happiness is a consistent mental, emotional and spiritual state of well-being. That is an aspect. Khushi, kis lihaz se? Jazbati, ruhani, dini, khushi ka naam aur kaifiyat, usko kehte hai khushi. This is what we can maybe just tell me. The one difficulty in this particular regard is, despite everyone wanting happiness, despite everyone wanting success, it's sometimes very elusive. Now, why is it elusive? The reason why it is elusive is because we are searching for it in the wrong place, and our way of looking for it is different. And this is the one thing that we always keep in mind. Iske ishtiyaq ke bawajood khushi nayab hai. Kyunki hum usko galat jagah par dhoondte hain. We go and look for it in the wrong place. Reminds me of an incident. One day a person lost something. So he lost something. So when he lost something, he told people, I lost this thing, look for it here in the house. So the people are looking for it everywhere, name in line. They're not getting it anywhere. So someone asked him, are you sure you lost it and where did you lose it? He said, I lost it outside. So you lost it outside, why are you telling us to look for it inside? So he said, because there is darkness there, there is light here. So you're looking for it here in the light, when the matter got lost there. So we're looking for happiness, where are we looking for it? The one aspect that is common in everywhere, we all look for happiness and wealth. Right? And this is the reality. We look for happiness and we look for success. In this particular type of thing, we are looking at happiness and success with wealth. What has happened today? We are wealthier as a human race, but we are not happier. Right? We are wealthier, but we are not happier. Can I tell you that if you look at the history of humanity, you will find that the houses that today you and I live in, many a times, the kings of the previous era didn't have such houses. That is the reality. We are wealthier, but not necessarily happier. There are surveys that have been carried out that the places in which there is the greatest amount of wealth, jahan maal ke farawani ho, usi jagah par, in that particular place, there is more depression. There are more psychiatrists per capita, per individuals in America than any other place in the world. The most famous and the most widely sell drugs in America is Prozac, which is a cure for depression. And that makes you sometimes, not always, sometimes it is a cure, sometimes it even makes you worse and make you more into depression. The point is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not kept happiness and success in wealth, although Allah Ta'ala allows us to utilize it. To utilize wealth and accumulation of wealth is not haram. The point is, what is haram is for us to regard success and to regard our happiness in that. That is wrong. Otherwise, Allah Ta'ala says with regard to wealth, وَأَمْوَالَكُمُ الَّتِي جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ قِيَامًا. Allah has made wealth, qiyam, a means of your existence. Allah said, رَبَّنَا أَتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً. Oh Allah, give us good in this world, give us good in the year after. We are not people who say you must stay away from world. وَرَهْبَانِيَةً ابْتَدَعُوهَا رَهْبَانِيَةً ابْتَدَعُوهَا مَا كَتَبْنَاهَا عَلَيْهِمْ إِلَّا بَتِغَاءَ رِضْوَانِ اللَّهِ فَمَا رَعُوهَا حَقَّ رِعَايَتِهَا. The monasticism that was adopted by early Christianity, Allah says, we didn't tell them to do that. When they stayed away from the halal things and the halal pursuits and the halal pleasures of this world. Ya ayyuhan nabi, lima tuharrimu ma ahalla Allahu lak. Oh Nabi, why do you make haram what Allah has made haram? Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, la tuharrimu tayyibat ma ahalla Allahu lakum. Oh believers, do not make the beautiful tayyibat, the good things of this world, which Allah has made halal, don't make it haram upon you. Allah has made certain things halal. You are supposed to enjoy the aspects with regard. Allah didn't say we must. Yesterday I was making mention during the course of one talk yesterday in London. The Maulana Salim Saab said that, I narrated in a previous lecture of mine the wealth of Abdurrahman ibn Auf radiallahu ta'ala. Let me repeat what I said yesterday. You know, there was a survey that was carried out from the books on Sirah on how much wealth Abdurrahman ibn Auf radiallahu ta'ala had. Right? Now, when we were students, we used to learn that Abdurrahman ibn Auf had so much wealth that one of his wives took as a settlement figure with regard to the estate such. She took a small percentage, and that was in so much. Our ustad used to tell us, we never used to understand how much wealth it was in terms of dirhams and dinars. Dirham is a silver coin, dinar is a gold coin. They looked at what he had from history. They found 3,103,000,000 gold coins, small gold coins. And gold coins at that time was 0.004 grams of gold in every gold coin. Taking that what he had left behind, they counted that in present gold terms. It worked out to $528 billion. I told the people yesterday in December 2016, Bill Gates had his accumulated wealth of $75 billion. Abdurrahman ibn Auf was 7 times wealthier than Bill Gates. To have wealth is not wrong. It's how you utilize it and how you acquire it that makes it good or bad. If you get the wealth of Abdurrahman ibn Auf and you spend it the way Abdurrahman ibn Auf, then it becomes subhanallah. You know, I made mention of the incident, we just make mention of it. One day Hazrat Ummul Mumineen, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala was saying that, you know, she was in a hujra, she was in a room, and all of a sudden there was a huge commotion. And there was a huge noise. What is happening? What's happening in Medina? Go and see. Oh Ummul Mumineen, Hazrat Abdurrahman ibn Auf's convoy of goods is coming into Medina. Never Medina has seen such a convoy of goods. So Hazrat Aisha said, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had said true, that Abdurrahman will go into Jannah, but he will crawl and go into Jannah. He will crawl and go into Jannah because of giving accountability for his wealth. You see, I tell people that when you have more wealth here in this world, it's an advantage. Right? So a person has got a gold credit card, he travels a lot when he's wealthy, so he got a loyalty card, so he got a gold Emirates card, so when he goes there in the queue, he say, no, business class, you got gold, go in there, no queue. You have to wait, you don't have to wait. You don't have enough wealth, you got a no card, go in the economy line, you have to stay there. Everyone knows that. So here you got wealth, there's an advantage. Right? So you go, you know, you got a gold card, you go straight. You go through the line, you go very quickly. Right? There you got an economy, you go. In the year after, it will be reversed. You got wealth, stand there too. Go and give yourself. You don't have wealth, come to Jaldi Jao. Ah, that's what's going to happen. So the person who is poor will go 500 years before the rich in Jannah. So look at the amazing thing. Here you got wealth is an advantage. There you got wealth is going to be a disadvantage. So the aspect of wealth accumulation, there is nothing wrong. It's that the fact is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not kept happiness in it. And Allah has not kept success in it. I can go on making mention from the Quran and Hadith so many examples. Let me give you an example with regard to the concept of success with regard to wealth.
وَلَوْلَا أَنْ يَكُونَ النَّاسُ أُمَّةً وَاحِدَةً لَجَعَلْنَا لِمَنْ يَكْفُرُ بِالرَّحْمَنِ لِبُيُوتِهِمْ سُقُفًا مِنْ فِضَّةٍ وَمَعَارِجَ عَلَيْهَا يَزْهَرُونَ.
Had it not been for the fear that everyone will become one ummah, had it not been for the fear that everyone will become one ummah, everyone would follow one way of teaching, Allah says, I would have given those who deny me. I want you to listen to this. It's 25th Supara of the Holy Quran. If had it not been that everyone would have been tempted, Allah says, I, those who deny me, I would have given them what? لِبُيُوتِهِمْ houses, سُقُفٌ مِّن فِضَّةٍ, the ceilings would have been made of silver. وَمَعَارِجَ عَلَيْهَا يَزْهَرُونَ, the staircases in that house would have been made of silver. Allah says, I would have given it to those people who deny me. Why didn't I do it? Because if I would have did it, people for the sake of that house with roofs of silver would have queued up to deny me. That is why I didn't do it. That is the reality of the wealth in the spiritual realm. It has absolutely no value to the extent that Allah said, I would have made it freely available to those who deny me. The only reason why I didn't do it, the way we say in English, for the sake of money, a person would sell his mother. For the sake of that wealth, people would have queued up to deny Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Had it not been for this temptation, Allah said, I would have given it to everyone who denies me. What is the, can you make your success on that? While it's permissible to accumulate and utilize wealth correctly. And Allah, the point is to utilize wealth correctly. To accumulate is not wrong. To regard it as a means of success, that is what is wrong. And to regard it as a means of happiness, that is what is wrong. And that is what we're finding more and more today. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us, brothers. There's this humorous incident, a person, you and I were up, we were sitting very udas, udas bete wata. So, kisi ne kaha, kya, kyun, why, kyun, kya pareshani hai? He said, ek saal pehle, mera par dada ka intikal pehle se hua tha, unke zameen India mein bik chuka, mujhe bahut paisa mila. 1 year ago, nowadays everyone is running to India to sell their land. In South Africa, I know, I don't know if it is here like this. Anyway, we sold our land, got sold. Hamara par dada ka, I got 100,000 pounds. Acha, so now why you sad? You're not supposed to be sad. I said 6 months ago, Nanyal ki taraf se, from the mother side, her land got sold. I got 300,000 pounds. So then why are you sad then? He says, since then no one died. Since then no one died. That's our reality with regard to what we are doing. Huh? Look at the situation. I'll give you an example. And sometimes it's good to take contemporary examples. Some years back, say 20, 30 years back, there was a very wealthy woman by the name of Christina Onassis. I don't know if anyone ever heard with regard to her. She was the sole heiress of the Aristotle empire and wealth. Everyone had died, there was no female, there was no male heiress, only one female heiress. Now the Aristotle family became famous when the former first lady of America got married to the one of the Onassis. And from that, the sole heiress, no doubt whatsoever, the most wealthiest perhaps person, or perhaps definitely the most wealthiest woman in the world. A reporter one day asked her and said, you are the wealthiest woman in the world. What do you feel about it? You know what she replied? I'm the wealthiest, but the most unhappiest woman in the world. I'm the wealthiest, but the most unhappiest woman in the world. A week after that particular interview, she committed suicide. It's amazing when we've got such, you know, examples from the Quran and Hadith that we make our happiness and our success tied to wealth. Sometimes people make the happiness and our success tied to fame. I'm so and so. Maybe coach, I'm also such and such a person. What is this? You know, the love, our ulama have written that the love for position and the love of jah, the love of yourself, the love for fame, the love for popularity is an equal, if not more spiritually destructive sin than the love of wealth. Many people don't realize this. The love for popularity, the love for fame, the love of yourself is even a more greater spiritually destructive disease than the love for wealth. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said, two hungry wolves let loose on a flock of sheep will not cause so much harm to them than the love for the self will cause to a deer. Some people feel, I'll become famous. I will become like this. I will become the leader. I will become... What is that? Name, fame, popularity, does it? Recently there was a stat that was carried out, you know, a very interesting, 300 musicians and actors and actresses, their lives were taken into account. Out of that, 40 out of 300, such a great percentage, died of overdose. Overdose of drugs. 36 committed suicide. Three of them poisoned themselves. That despite having the name, the fame, I don't want to take names, right? Unnecessary. I'm just giving you a stats. Out of 300 musicians and actors and actresses, they counted over 100 of them died in unnatural circumstances. Their whole life, if you look at it, is one of drugs, overdose, one of committing this suicide, this, that. What is that going to give you happiness? How are we so misled with regard to it? And then, of course, if you regard, for example, you know, wealth to be a means of happiness, then the question asks, how much wealth will give you happiness? How much wealth will give you happiness? لو كان ابن آدم واديان مما لبتغى ثالثا. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, if a person is given two valleys of gold, he won't be happy. I've got two valleys of gold. He said, but when is the third one coming? Al min mazid, is anything more than that two valleys of gold? So how much of wealth is happiness? So this particular aspect is then another aspect that, you know, many a times that we don't understand and we don't realize, we are looking for happiness, but we are looking for happiness outside us. Everyone is looking for happiness outside your own self. So we are looking for happiness where? In wealth, name, fame, popularity, new phone, iPhone. So new Samsung S9, you know, all of that. I don't know, after S9, what is going to come? S10, whatever is going to happen. So all the time, we are making the mistake. We are looking for wealth. Are we looking for happiness outside us? Allah didn't keep happiness outside you. He kept it in you. And you're looking for it outside. Subhanallah. Now let us look at the positive aspect with regard to it. The one thing is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that grants happiness. Allah is the one who gives you, who makes you laugh and makes you cry. Allah is the one who makes you laugh and makes you cry. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who is going to give you happiness or is going to give you sadness. What is amazing is the opposite of happiness is, Allah wants us to be happy. Remember this, the opposite of happiness is sadness, huzn. Nowhere in the Sharia does Allah Ta'ala tell you to be sad. Allah Ta'ala says, وَلَا تَحِنُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُ. Don't be sad. Ayat al-Qarni wrote the book, لَا تَحْزَن. Don't be sad. It's also from a Quranic ayat. لَا تَحِنُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُ. Don't be sad. So anywhere where sadness is mentioned in the Sharia, it is in a prohibitive sense. Don't be sad. So Allah also wants us to be happy. The only thing Allah wants us to be happy in a different way compared to what you and I are accustomed to understanding. One of the aspects with regard to happiness is contentment. Right? Now what is contentment? Many times people misunderstand the word contentment. Al-qana'atu kanzul la yafna. Qana'at is, and contentment is a wealth that will never diminish. Your wealth will, has, and many a times in the future will diminish. Allah will, sometimes there is up and sometimes there is down with regard to your wealth. But qanaat will never ever get diminished. And qanaat means, what is the meaning of qanaat? Qanaat means, doesn't many a times people say, we are supposed to be ambitious. I like ambition. And Islam wants us to be ambitious. Islam wants us to have a vision. Right? But, you know, we must be having the vision in the right way. We all heard of Muhammad al-Fatih. Muhammad al-Fatih conquered Constantinople. Right? Now, it's an interesting incident when you look at the history of Muhammad al-Fatih. Muhammad al-Fatih, at the age of 12, ulama say at the age of 12, he heard a hadith from the imam that was giving the Jummah khutbah. So don't sleep at the time of the Jummah khutbah. Might have, inshallah, Allah will give you some vision, some ambition. So he heard this hadith that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said, لَتُفْتَحُنَّ الْقُسْطُنْتِيَةِ. You will conquer Constantinople. فَلَنِعْمَ الْجَيْشِ ذَلِكَ الْجَيْشِ وَلَنِعْمَ الْأَمِيرُ أَمِيرُهَا أَوْ كَمَا قَالْ. Very great will be that army that conquers Constantinople. Very great will be that Amir who conquers Constantinople. Muhammad al-Fatih at the age of 12 when he had this hadith, he said, Inshallah, I will be that person. At the age of 21, he conquered Constantinople. Allah wants us to be ambitious. So contentment is not the fact that you must not be ambitious. You must be ambitious. You must say, I want to gain wealth. But after you make all your preparations, all your efforts, after you made your efforts, you are contented with what Allah gives you after that. Make all your efforts. You make your effort to the best of your ability. And when you get the wealth, as I said, it's not about the aspect that I'm going to get the wealth to become happy or successful. It doesn't make you a successful person. If wealth would have made you successful, Qarun would have been the most successful person in the world. The fact that he is not, Allah has made mention of it in the Quran, that Allah Ta'ala destroyed him with his wealth. So the point is, we want it, but we want to use it correctly like Abdul Rahman ibn Auf. We must be ambitious. But after making that, you make your effort to the best of your ability. After you've made it, you thank Allah Ta'ala. Imam Muslim Rahmatullah Ali, this example gives me, I really enjoy it. Imam Muslim Rahmatullah Ali was in jail. Right? So at the time of Jummah, every Jummah Imam Muslim Rahmatullah Ali used to wear his best clothes, but he was allowed in the prison. Right? And then he used to walk till where he was allowed to walk, and he was allowed to be free in the prison. And then when he used to come to that place, and there he couldn't go further, he used to make dua to Almighty Allah. Oh Allah, you commanded us, ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, idha nudiya lis-salati min yawm al-jum'ati fas'u ila dhikrillah. Hasten towards the zikr of Almighty Allah. Oh Allah, I have done what is within my capacity. I have come to this place, they're not allowing me to go further. I have done what is within my capacity. You make what is there within your capacity, after that now contented. When Allah Ta'ala gives you alhamdulillah, you make your effort, after that khalas. That is the way with regard to it. That is why Abu Dharr Ghaffari radiallahu ta'ala, one day someone came to Abu Dharr. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked Abu Dharr, what is the definition of wealth? Abu Dharr, what is the definition of wealth? Ya Rasulullah, the one who's got a lot of money. Abu Dharr, what is your definition of poverty? Ya Rasulullah, the one who's got very little money. Oh Abu Dharr, al ghina ghina nafs. Oh Abu Dharr, that is not wealth and prosperity, and that is not poverty. Wealth and prosperity has got more to do with the heart than the amount of wealth that you have. So this is an aspect with regard to, and then with regard to happiness, let me just give you we say physical, emotional, intellectual, and spiritual well-being. That is happiness. Firstly, physical well-being. Brothers, you must all bear this in mind. There's a lot, Islam has placed a lot of emphasis with regard to our health. Unfortunately, we do not pay attention to this very, very important aspect of deen. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, a strong believer is better than a weak believer. What does it mean? Physically strong. If you are going to be physically strong, you are going to be able to do more ibadat. You will be able to do more for the sake of the community than a person who is weak. We have to look after our health. Unfortunately, we don't pay attention towards it. Then afterwards, we regret. Sheikh Sadi Rahmatullah Ali, Sheikh Sadi also was an amazing person. So Sheikh Sadi Rahmatullah Ali gave this example one day with regard to how we don't value our health. So Sheikh Sadi said one day the king was going on an expedition in a journey with regard to he was going, I read this from Maharaj Shyamala Thani Rahmatullah Alayhi, we used to go and listen to him in Jacob Line in Karachi. And one, he was going as we were, he said that Sheikh Sadi Rahmatullah Alayhi was going, and he made mention of this, the king was going with people, and this one person was making everyone's life a misery. He's saying, I'm seeing, this is so bad. Why did we come out in the sea expedition? Why didn't we travel in the ship, in the boat? It's just becoming difficult. I can't stay this and that. So one wise person told, give me ijazat, I will cure him. I will cure him. So the king said, how will you cure him? He said, leave it to me. So the king said, well, you got ijazat. So he took that person who was complaining, threw him into the ocean. So when he threw him into the ocean, he managed to get something and he threw a piece of wood there. He managed to cling to it and he came back. After that, he stopped complaining. So the king said, how did you pray? He said, he misunderstood the safety the ship was providing for him in the depth of the ocean. When he realized how deep the ocean was and what the ship was doing, then when he came back, he stopped complaining. Then Imam Sheikh Shadi writes, as a lesson to this incident, we don't value our health until we become sick. Therefore, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, value your health before sickness overtakes you. Why do we do things that sometimes, you know, it's Islam's teaching is to protect our health. That is the reason why there are many such aspects with regard to aspects in our, you know, why did Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that, you know, eat in such a way that, you know, one third is food, one third is water, and one third is air. And our situation is such, Mufti Ahmad Khan Puri made mention to one incident when he came to South Africa. He said one person ate so much, he was so full. So someone gave him something, he said, you know, you ate quite a bit. Let me give you a little bit of churan, you know, that will make it easy for you to digest the food. Let me give you this churan. Let me give you this powder. You have this little bit of powder, it will make it easier for you to digest the food. So he told him, if I had so much of capacity left, I would have eaten another piece of meat. Our situation is such. So that is the first aspect is with regard to physical well-being. The other aspect is intellectual well-being. The importance of keeping your mind active. Keeping your mind active plays a very important role with this particular aspect. I've completed my studies, I don't need to study anymore. اطلب العلم من المهدي الى اللحد. Acquire knowledge from the cradle to the grave. Right? Whether it is a hadith or it is an Arabic saying, this is the reality. That's what our beloved Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught us. Go and acquire knowledge. Rabbi zidni ilma. What does it mean? Oh Allah, increase me in my knowledge. Even if you are 80 years of age, you make the same dua. Even if you are 80 years of age, you make the same dua. Oh Allah, give me. Education is one of the most important factor in achieving optimal intellectual potential. The first ayat that came upon our beloved Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam after 650 years. Right, the time between Isa alayhi salam and Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is known as Fitrat al-Wahi. Allah in the sixth supara has made mention with regard to it. Fitrat al-Wahi means from the time of Adam alayhi salam till Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, there was no greater passage of time in which there was no wahi. Of course, until our beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam being the last of prophets. After that, there is no wahi. But in between the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, the greatest time was between Isa alayhi salam and Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Over 650 years. Then after 650 years, the first ayat was, Iqra, read. So if we are not in our situation, may Allah Ta'ala forbid, we as Muslims, we have such a great legacy and inheritance of knowledge. That is amazing yet. What is our situation? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, make us mark. What is our, we don't even read. We don't even worry with regard to increasing our potential in terms of knowledge. But the Sahaba and our Tabi'een, look at what they did. Asad bin Furat came to Imam Muhammad rahmatullah alayh. I want to learn from you. I heard that you are a very great scholar. I came to, you know, learn that you are a very great scholar. So Imam Muhammad rahmatullah alayh said, I got no time. My whole day is taken. I'm teaching this. Whole day, I don't have any time to teach you. He said, no, I've come from so far, you need to teach me something. Give me some time, I want to learn from you. So Imam Muhammad rahmatullah alayhi thought for a while and said, Asad, when I make wuzu for tahajjud, there is no one with me. I'm alone at that time. Bring whatever you want to learn, whatever kitab, whatever you want to learn from me, come to me while I am making wuzu for tahajjud namaz. Asad bin Furat says, I used to remain awake whole night. That I don't miss the few valuable moments I got from learning from Imam Muhammad while he was making wuzu for tahajjud. That's how they used to value knowledge. And not only with regard to Islamic knowledge, in every aspect with regard to Khwarizmi was the master of chemistry and algebra, algorithm, I hope I got it right, maybe it might be right, which is the basis of a computer, was given to the world by Khwarizmi. Muslims were in the forefront, whether it be medicine, Ibn Sina, whether it be any, Muslims were in the forefront. I tell people, whatever education you are taking, become professional in it. Don't just do it to be run of the mill. If you are going to become an accountant, become the best accountant. If you are going to become a doctor, become the best doctor. And Allah Ta'ala and our deen did not teach us, although Islam has taught us that the best form of knowledge is the Quran and Hadith. Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi has written, but any branch of knowledge which is indispensable for the welfare of mankind, any branch of knowledge which is indispensable for the welfare of mankind, it is farz-e kifaya for the ummah to acquire it. And then he's right in his ihya, katibbi wal hisab, like medicine and accounting. Not farz-e kifaya if the ummah don't have doctors. If the ummah don't have accountants, the entire ummah is blameworthy. So the other aspect with regard to it is the aspect of intellectual. And al-hikmatu dhalatul mu'min. You know, knowledge is a lost property of the believers. Whoever he finds it, he goes and acquires it. This is the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also prohibited alcohol. Because alcohol takes away your faculty with regard to intellectual well-being. So the second aspect is intellectual well-being, which is part and parcel of our happiness and success. Then the most important, which many a times you and I never ever regard to be part and parcel of our well-being, our happiness and our success, it is spiritual well-being. Spiritual well-being is perhaps one, we cannot have a happy and positive life without a strong and positive connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the reality. We can never be successful, we can never be happy until we do not have a strong and positive connection and relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alladheena aamanu wa tatma'innu qulubuhum bi dhikrillah, ala bi dhikrillah tatma'innu al-qulub. Those who have iman and their hearts are attached to the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ala means a very, it's like someone telling you, you know, when you want to give a very important announcement and you in the school, you ring the bell, everyone come into assembly. Allah, be aware. Bi dhikrillahi tatma'innu, only in the remembrance of Allah will hearts find contentment, satisfaction and happiness. Only in dhikr of Allah. I normally tell people, you know, even this aspect with regard to drugs in our community and society, which is becoming rife everywhere, one of the root causes with regard to it is there's an emptiness in people's life. There's a vacuum in people's life. Brothers, you and I, Allah Ta'ala in the Holy Quran has made mention with regard to certain essential needs of ours. And that particular needs, Allah Ta'ala has made mention of it in the context of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam being in Jannah. فَقُلْنَا يَا عَدَمُ إِنَّ لَكَ أَلَّا تَجُوعَ فِيهَا وَلَا تَعْرَى وَأَنَّكَ لَا تَزْمَعُ فِيهَا وَلَا تَعْرَى. Oh Adam, Allah Ta'ala told him that remain in Jannah, you will not be hungry. لَا تَجُوعَ وَلَا تَعْرَى, you will not be naked. وَأَنَّكَ لَا تَزْمَعُ فِيهَا, you will never gain thirst. And you will not be without shelter. Roti kapra makan. Allah made mention of it in the Quran. That, oh Adam, you in Jannah, you will get roti kapra makan. Now, this is our basic, essential, physical need. But there's another need. Our spiritual need. Now, spiritual need is not going to be fulfilled by material things. Our spiritual need is going to be filled by spiritual nourishment. Just as our physical needs is going to be fulfilled by physical nourishment, our spiritual needs is going to be filled by spiritual nourishment. Remembrance of Allah, our salat, you know, our remembering of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in the absence of spiritual nourishment, there is a vacuum in our life. And that vacuum, today people are trying to fill that vacuum, which is on the basis of not being spiritually nourished with material things. And Allah didn't keep the nourishment of your spiritual needs with physical nourishment. That is why you find, I give this example, take a small child, a baby. A baby will come and say, I want this toy. And when he wants this toy, he will cry and he will cry. You buy him that toy. At the end of the day, that toy will be in one corner. Finish. It was a temporary thing because there's a vacuum. In a similar manner, we need a spiritual connection with Allah. If we don't have it, there's a vacuum in our life. And when there's a vacuum in your life, then you look for it in drugs. You look for it in somewhere else. Therefore, unless we do not keep our children and our youth attached to the masjid, attached to some form of spiritual nourishment, there is always going to be a vacuum in their life. So we have to, it's, maybe it might be less than those people who are elderly who are going to be all the time in the masjid, alhamdulillah, you know, but there has to be, a youngster has to have some connection with Allah, some connection with the Quran, some connection with Allah Ta'ala, zikr and masjid. Otherwise, there is no fulfillment in his life. If there is no fulfillment, he will try to fulfill it with something else, and he will not be able to fulfill it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept that particular aspect. Therefore, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the coolness of my eyes lies in salah. You know, as that, you know, there's a very interesting hadith, you know, where Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made mention with regard to this. And he said that Allah Ta'ala, when he created Jannat and Jahannam, he told Jibreel, go and see Jannat and Jahannam. So when he went to go and see Jannat and Jahannam, he came back and said, oh Allah, everyone you create will want to stay away from Jahannam. And everyone whom you create will want to go to Jannah. Who will want to go to Jahannam? Everyone will want to go to Jannah. So Allah Ta'ala surrounded Jannat and Jahannam by certain things. And Allah Ta'ala then told Jibreel, that, oh Jibreel, now you go and see. Oh Jibreel, now you go and see Jannat and Jahannam. So when he went to go and see Jannat and Jahannam, he came back and said, Ya Allah, now I am afraid whether anyone will go to Jannah. And now I am afraid whether anyone will be able to save himself from Jahannam. And then Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Hujibat al-naru bi-shahwat wa hujibat al-jannatu bil-makari. Allah Ta'ala had surrounded Jannat by the fulfillment of desires. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has surrounded Jannah by effort and toil. So if you want Jannah, you have to make an effort. You have to get up in the early hours of the morning to perform Fajr. Right? Here you have to, alhamdulillah, you can read Fajr till 8 o'clock in the morning. That also people can't. Sometimes, inshallah, I'm sure everyone will be. But there is an effort. Sometimes in Ramadan, I mean, you got a situation of keeping 17, 18. I admire you because people invite me, I say, bhai, Allah Ta'ala Mubarak. I want 11 hours to Jah Roza Chai. Why was I come and come make 87? I get the same reward. I don't get it. So there is some effort and toil. And with regard to Jahannam, is fulfill your desires, you go to Jahannam. Cave into your desires. Just do whatever. And today, the culture of the world is, it encourages you to fulfill your desires. Obey your thirst. Huh? That's what they tell you. Just do it. What is all this? This whole particular culture. The culture is, just go and do whatever you want to do. Whatever you want to do, go and do it. Yes, go and do it. But that is a guarantee to go into Jannah. The whole culture of Islam is put a curtail your desires. Don't give your desires free rein. And in giving your desires free rein, you think you are becoming happy. You think you are being able to gain satisfaction. It's a myth. It is like that particular person who scratches. So he's got a rash and he scratches. And every time he scratches, he feels, no, I need to scratch. The more you stretch, the more you need to stretch. The desires is such a thing. The more you cave into your desires, the more you give into your desire, the more will it be its demands. You think I will have, aliyadu billah, I will have one episode encounter with a person of the opposite sex is enough. But you came in once, you came in again. That's a reality. And the more you do it, the more you will get into that. It is like that particular person, the more you, for example, a person who is in drugs, he said, I'm going to take this drug, I'm going to go into a high. And then after that, I won't take. Where is it going to happen that way? The more you cave in, the more you will want. After that, you will go into a further depression. More than the depression that you were in before you took the drugs. So it's a vicious circle all the time. So all the time you are going into that circle, you are seeking something that you feel is going to give you. The more you cave into your desires, the more there is going to be depression. And the more you will never be able to achieve that happiness. On the other hand, there's another type of happiness. There's another type of happiness. That happiness does not come by the physical fulfillment. That happiness comes with regard to a certain degree of physical difficulty, but it gives you spiritual happiness. And our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to feel sometimes, the challenges of the world and the difficulties and the oppression. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to say, O Bilal, give the call for azan. Give the call for azan. I want to communicate with my Allah. And then he used to say, Qurratu ayni fi salah. The coolness of my eyes lies in salah. Now that happiness, when are we going to get it? You see, that happiness will only be gained if we are spiritually healthy. A person who is sick, when a person is sick, he can't even enjoy normal food. Why? You put biryani, I don't feel like eating it. Why? Because he's sick. Why don't we enjoy salat? Because we are spiritually sick. If we are spiritually strong, we will not be able. We will love salat. We will love salat. One tabi'i used to cry when he said, and I heard that in Jannah there will be no salat. I used to cry. What? No salat? What's the use of life if there is no salat? And that particular success and happiness is another happiness. There's another success. And that particular success is the success of the year after. The success and the happiness of the year after. Our particular happiness is very limited. It's for 40, 50, 60 years. To kelo mein tune rakpan gamaya. To badmasiyon mein jawani gamayi. To ab ghaflat mein burha pe gumayi. To bas yeh samaj puri zindagani gamayi. That's our reality. That particular day is another life. And that particular life depends upon how you utilize this life here. وَمَا يَسْتَوِي الْعَامَى وَالْبَصِيرُ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَلَلْمُسِيءِ. The person who sees is not equal to the one who is blind. The one who do righteous deed is not equal to the one who does evil deeds. قَلِيلًا مَا تَتَذَكَّرُونَ. Don't you ponder over this? If you ponder over this, only this one ayah, you will realize why akhirat is absolutely necessary. Don't you see a person who is blind and the one who has got eyes and the one who can see, they are not equal. Now the one who does evil deeds and the one who does righteous deeds are not equal. But here in this world, أَمْنَجَرُ الَّذِينَ عَامَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ كَالْمُفْسِدِينَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. You think the person who does righteous deeds is the one like who makes guna? They are not equal. But in this world, what happens? A person who commits guna, the person who does evil deeds, he gets away with it scot-free. He continues living in apparent good life and luxurious life. And a person who is, the person who is living, trying to meet the demands of the Sharia, trying to follow the Sharia, he sometimes has difficulty in even meeting his needs. Now you think the two are equal. Now if the two are not equal in this world, they are not being recompensed according to the deeds that they have done. Inna sa'ata la'atiyah, the day has to come. Akhirat is not only a matter of aqidah, it's a logical necessity. If you believe in Allah Ta'ala to be just, then you have to believe in akhirat. You have to believe in Jannat and Jahannam. Because here in this world, Allah Ta'ala is Darul Amal. It's not a place of Darul Jaza. It's not a place where Allah Ta'ala rewards you. So there has to come a day where Allah Ta'ala will reward you. فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَى وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَى. Whoever does an iota of good will see it in front of him on the day of Qiyamah. Whoever does an iota of evil will see it in front of him on the day of Qiyamah. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu used to say, this is the ayat which gives us the greatest concern. Out of all the ayats of the Holy Quran, this is the one that gives us. And then in the akhirat, what will happen?
تلفح وجوههم النار وهم فيها كالحون. ربنا غلبت علينا شقوتنا وكنا قوما ضالين. ربنا أخرجنا منها فإن عدنا منها فإنا ظالمون. A person who does evil deed will come in front of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he will say, Wallah, misfortune had overcome me because I had done evil in this world. And I was among the wrongdoers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talfahu qala ikhsa'u fiha wa la tukallimun. Allah will tell him, get away from here. In Urdu, you know, we say tafahuja. Ikhsa'u fiha is means that. He will come and say, Wallah, give me another opportunity to do good deeds. Send me back to this world. Allah will say, tafahuja. اخسأوا فيها ولا تكلموا. Don't even talk to me. تلفح وجوههم النار وهم فيها. Allah Ta'ala will brand his face. Allah Ta'ala will burn his face. And then he will say, now that particular person, my dear respected, even if he was a multi-billionaire in this world, he is unsuccessful. When that particular situation happens to him, he is unsuccessful no matter what you have a definition with regard to success in this world. On the other hand, there will be other types of people. You know, it comes in one. Just to give an example of happiness and giving it a perspective. I heard this from Mufti Mahmud Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, the hadith so many times. They say a person will be called by Allah Ta'ala on the day of judgment. And for example, just to give it a, to make people understand, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, if for example this person in this life only saw, only sadness, he only saw difficulty, Allah will dip him in Jannah. Not put him in Jannah, dip him. Take him out. Banda, oh my Banda, oh my servant, did you see any difficulty in this world? And he will say, Wallahi ya Allah, I never saw difficulty. After being dipped in Jannah. And after that, a person will be put. He only had happiness, and that also doesn't happen. Mm-hmm. Everyone together with his happiness had sadness, and everyone together with sadness also had episodes of happiness. But Allah Ta'ala says, if for example a person only had comfort and luxury and happiness in this world, Allah on the day of Qiyamah will dip him in Jahannam. Take him out. Don't put him, dip him. Oh my Banda, did you ever see comfort? Ya Allah, I never saw comfort. Ya Allah, I never saw comfort. But that is a happiness, and that comfort and that success is something that in our pursuit for temporary success we forget. When a person goes in comes in a hadith that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, when a person is in Jannah, it comes that Allah Ta'ala will say, oh my Banda, are you happy? Are you happy with what I have given you? And he will say, Ya Allah, Nima, why shouldn't we be happy? You have given us whatever we want. وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَشْتَهِي أَنفُسُكُمْ. Whatever we desire. In Jannah, a person won't have to give an order enough. You know, he won't have to give an order to the local takeaway. He will just think about it, it will come. Nowadays, we are so used to things, you know, becoming easy. One day, we might even phone the pizza parlor and say, send a pizza by attachment. We all want so much. Day in Jannah will happen. You will just think about it, it will come. وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَشْتَهِي أَنفُسُكُمْ وَلَكُمْ مَا تَدَّعُونَ. So Allah will say, oh my Banda, what do you want? Allah will repeatedly ask. So then the people will go to the ulama and say, why is Allah continuously asking, what do we want? Why is Allah continuously asking us, what do we want? Now they also will need the alim. They also will need the alim. So they go to the ulama. Why is Allah repeatedly asking? Ulama will say, there is one ni'mat still left. There is still one ni'mat left. Said, what is that? Say, ask Allah to reveal himself to us. Tell Allah to show himself to us. وَجُوهِ يَوْمَ إِذٍ نَاظِرَةٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهَا نَاظِرَةٌ. So they will say, Allah, reveal yourself to us. And Allah Ta'ala will reveal himself to the people of Jannah. Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi has made mention of one riwayat. He said the first time, you see in Jannah there is no concept of time. خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا لَا يَبْهُونَ عَنْهَا هِوَلَا. You will remain in Jannat and there will be no, you will never get tired of Jannat and you will never get tired of something. One day I was making tafsir of this ayat one day, a person came and said, Mawlana, you cleared a very great thing. I said, why? He said, I was thinking that in Jannat you will have only things and you will be sitting by the streams and you will be sitting by all the different types of, you know, anharum min labanin, and you will have streams of honey and streams of milk and streams of all water and all that. What will we do all day? So Allah says, Layab, you will never get tired. So it said there's no concept of time. It's not that you have to now, you know, see to it that you have to go and perform salah at this time. There's no point. Everything is, Allah will make it easy. There'll be no nothing. So he said, the first time you see Allah, your first gaze will last for 800,000 years. Huh? That is happiness. Do you want that happiness or do you want this happiness? Muhammad Tariq Jamil Sahib, let me just conclude with this. He makes mention that the people will be in Jannah. And when they will be in Jannah, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, O Dawood, praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَكَدْ عَتَيْنَا دَاوُدَ مِنَّا فَضْلَا يَا جِبَالُ هَوِّبِي مَعَهُ وَالتَّيْرِ وَعَلَنَّا لَهُ الْحَدِيدِ. That when Dawood alayhi salatu wa salam used to make zikr, the birds used to join him in zikr because of the way he used to have a melodious way of making zikr for Almighty Allah. So Allah would say, Dawood, sing the praises of Allah. Dawood alayhi salam, sing the praises of Allah. Then Allah would say, Ya Muhammad, O Muhammad, render the praises of Almighty Allah. And Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would praise Allah. And then we would be sitting there, inshallah. Huh? Then he comes in one hadith that Allah Ta'ala himself will read Surah An'am for the people of Jannah. Brothers, that is happiness. When are we going to pursue that happiness? So when we want to understand happiness and success, my dear respected brothers, let us keep all of these aspects in mind so that we can gain the real happiness and the real success, both of this world and in the hereafter. Because Allah Ta'ala tells us we must have happiness. رَبَّنَا أَتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً. Allah, give us good in this world, give us good in the hereafter. May Allah Ta'ala grant us each and everyone that true happiness and success, both of this world and the hereafter. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على رسولنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم انت السلام ومنك السلام، تبارك ربنا وتعاليت يا رب الجلال والإكرام. اللهم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. اللهم مغفرتك أوسع من ذنوبنا ورحمتك أرجى عندنا من أعمالنا. اللهم ثبتنا على الإيمان وأمتنا على الإيمان واحشرنا يوم القيامة مع المتقين مع الإيمان. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من الهم والحزن، ونعوذ بك من البخل والجبن، ونعوذ بك من غلبة الدين وقحط الرجال، ونعوذ بك من المعثم والمغرم. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من القسوة والغفلة والعيلة والذلة والمسكنة، ونعوذ بك من الكفر والفكر والشق والشقاق والسمعة والغياب. اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه نبيك وحبيبك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. سبحان ربنا رب العزة عما يصفون، والسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله.
Right, what to do? What's the name? Guinea.